Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Every now and then, we tend to do something quite interesting, topics that we've never explored before. This is one of them. We're looking at REITs in Singapore. Joining us all the way from Singapore is Krishna Guha, the REITs Maybank Investment Banking Group analyst. Krishna, let's talk a little bit more about some of the top-line findings of the Singapore REITs report that is published by Maybank Investment.
Thank you, Ibrahim. And that's a perfect opening question. I think as the rates go, so go the REITs, right? So I think in our house view, we have the Fed funds rate to peak at 5 to 5.25%. And that will peak by the first half of this year. So I think we have used that base assumption in our forecast for both the funding costs as well as the discount rate for the REITs. So I think that the markets have been conditioned to the elevated rate hikes, and I think the bulk of the rate hikes are behind us. And also the pace of the rate hike that we have seen is unlikely to follow through in this year. So, I mean, given that, I would tend to think that it is that the funding cost increases and the discount rate increases have more or less been priced in the REIT market. What we need to now look forward is that if there is any further rate hike, how will the REITs manage that, and what's the visibility on their top line? Which REITs have the best visibility on the top line growth itself?
The idea here is also to look at some rotations going back to diversified commercial landlords and industrial REITs again. And what I need to understand more is what do we make of these new economy assets?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. So if there is any potential recession and that kind of materializes, then investors will be looking at the visibility of the revenue and how things kind of pan out there. So the REITs, which are having relatively longer weighted average lease expiry periods, REITs, which are the industrial REITs, which are exposed to the new economy sector, which we think will have a resilient demand profile and therefore, can grow their rents through the cycle. I think investors will start to look at them. And obviously, investors will also look at the credit profile of the underlying tenants so that they can withstand any kind of economic shocks.
And what about hospitality REITs? Do you think that there's some legs there still?
Okay, the good question and a very topical one. Admittedly, I think starting from the early this year, Street has been quite optimistic on this whole China inbound tourism theme, and we fall in the same camp. But admittedly, I think the inbound tourism has been a bit slow to start. If you look at the REIT briefings and how the owners of the hospitality REITs and the retail REITs are guiding, I think they are guiding more towards the second half where we see the full impact of the return of the Chinese tourists. So the issues that the China tourism outbound is facing are the similar ones that we had seen when Singapore had opened its border. Issue with the passport having already expired, and the bottlenecks on the flight capacity, bottlenecks in the passport and visa processing, and all those issues are pretty much what's there on the China side as well. I'm sure these things will be sorted out in due course of time, and I think we should see the inbound tourism starting to flow in from second half of this year. The authorities have taken a more pragmatic stance. I think the vaccination has been almost 100%, and there are protocols about inbound people being vaccinated and so on. So I think the authorities here have taken a bit more a stance that we do not need to put checks as of now because there are not many large spikes in cases. And I think given that the stance, we are a bit more optimistic that the tourism arrivals will flow through.
Okay, we'll take a short break before we continue on our conversation with Krishna Guha of Maybank Investment Banking Group's REITs analyst. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me on the line Krishna Guha, Maybank Securities analyst. Let's take a look into the idea of how we can move forward towards the risks in the REITs in Singapore vis-a-vis REITs in Southeast Asia. Maybe you can talk more to that effect.
So I think it depends on the investor's time horizon. I think if you are looking for a more cyclical story, then obviously the exposure to this China tourism and broader reopening makes the hospitality and the retail theme and the retail REITs a lot more favorable in the short term. But if you're looking for a bit more of a long-term investment thesis, then I think this through cycle growth prospect of the industrial REITs for those which are exposed to the new economy sectors are definitely much more favorable.
And the preferred picks that was mentioned in the report would be CICT, FCT, E-REIT, Mint, and many more. What would make these kind of picks kind of favorable or optimistic about these picks by Maybank Securities?
So just zooming in into your topic of new economy assets. So we have ESR REIT and Mapletree Industrial Trust among our top picks. So ESR REIT has close to 60% of the assets in logistics. Its sponsor is a large diversified logistics player in the Pan Asia region. So it has got the visibility of the pipeline. And then talking about Mapletree Industrial Trust, it's about 50% in the US data centers, which is arguably the largest data center market in the world. And then it also has a pipeline which will take its data center exposure to about 67%, two-thirds of the portfolio. So I think this gives us some comfort that they have a visibility on the new economic sector and how they're going to grow to all the sector as well as benefit from it. And therefore, these are the coming as a top picks. Further, if you look at the valuation, Mapletree Industrial Trust is trading at about 6% yield, which is the highest among the large cap industrial REITs. And similarly, ESR REIT is trading close to 7.5%.
There is an argument that needs to be made in terms of time to look at REITs again, but with some downgrades. Maybe you can share your views on this.
Okay, so I think impact is a different asset class. It is more of a mixed commercial REIT. It recently had underwent a large merger with its sister REIT and diversified from Singapore into the region. No doubt it has the prime gateway assets like that of VivoCity and Festival Walk, which we think will be beneficiary of the reopening. But it is more of a story of now is how you reconstitute the portfolio with your assets in, for example, in China, Beijing, Shanghai, in Korea, where you have 50% stake in the asset, in Japan, which may not be performing that well. So you have this challenge of reconstituting the portfolio and redeploying the capital into the yield accretive acquisition. Obviously, capital markets are not that friendly right now, and impact gearing is about 40-41%. So we think that the main challenge is that in this difficult environment, you need to reconstitute the portfolio as well as maintain the stable DPU profile. And at the same time, this going overseas also comes with its FX risk when FX prints are all over the place.
What's the story of Singapore REITs when it comes to office?
Good question. And I think probably you have seen the press all over that, the tech sector is definitely right-sizing. And the pertinent point here is that the tech sector used to be at least about one-third to over 40% of the net new leases for this office landlords pre-pandemic, and I think for some in the pandemic as well. So the freeze that we are seeing right now in the tech sector will definitely have some overhang for the landlords, in my view. We have already seen that the spot rent growth quarter on quarter in the fourth quarter has come off from about high single digit to low single digit. And we think that if in absence of any demand spike, I think the spot rent growth will definitely decline. So I think the office REITs are at a interesting juncture where you have limited supply. If you see the supply that's coming through, it's about 700,000 to 800,000 annually for the next 3 years. And I think we have two large buildings. One is the GoCo Midtown, which is about 80% pre-committed. And we have the IOI Central Boulevard, which is about, 30 to 35% pre-committed. So there is a bit of a space there. But by and large, supply itself is very limited. But the key thing is how the demand comes through. And that is where I think the question mark is. What we have seen that as the TMT sector kind of goes sideways, we have seen demand coming through from, for example, non-bank financial institutions, be it like family offices. We have seen like the allied service sector, for example, legal services, and then the commodity trading shop, the oil and gas names are back. So oil and gas trading firms are also coming and taking space. Now, if this demand grows in an already constrained supply market, that can be a big swing factor. But right now, I think we are a bit more cautious because we don't have much of demand visibility. And these new, you know, the new tenants who are taking up spaces are taking mostly the small spaces, maybe 3,000 to 4,000 square feet at relatively higher spot rents, you know, $14-$15. So yes, I mean, if this demand comes through, then the spot rents can swing upward once again. But right now, we need to see that how the bulk of this demand comes through, because this is still small demand. And whereas, you know, office typically has been the playground for tenants who need large spaces. So that's our view on the office landlord right now.
Do you feel that this situation is going to change in the near term, at least within the 12 months horizon?
So I think, again, we need to harp back to this whole reopening theme. So if, you know, the coming of the Chinese tourists and along with some transient corporate travelers as well, if it kind of results in more business formation, more family offices coming through, and if, you know, oil and the whole commodity trading sector also starts booming once again, then we may see that new take up again can come up. But again, right now, we do not have much demand visibility on that side. I think co-sharing is quietly making a comeback, and that we have seen because the people who are coming are not asking for large spaces. These are pretty much working in a startup mode where they want to keep their costs variable and not much of you know, fixed overlay right up front. And also the footprint needed is small. So I think the co-working space gives them a you know, right kind of a space to start up. And we are seeing you know, things coming back from that side as well. But you know, how much the demand comes through is the main issue, because if we do not see the bulk of the demand to come up to take up the spaces taken by, for example, TMT sector, then we will definitely see increased shadow spaces. And we are already seeing that. I think shadow space was something about 200,000 square feet in the CBD area. I think that has been told by the consultants to about, you know, close to 700,000 to about a million square feet. So we've already seen shadow spaces coming up. So if the demand doesn't come up, then yes, I think the office sector is going to see some overhang from there.
No, I'm not asking you for investment advice, of course, but I just want to ask you about the consideration that investors might need to think about. It seems like office REITs, there seems to be a lot of considerations that needs to be thought of as an investor.
Yes.
Do you feel that because of this, it's easier, especially the less savvy ones or yet to be savvy ones, it's better to think about hospitality and retail and industrial and other subsectors?
Other than I agree. I totally agree, Ibrahim. I think, as I said, the demand, the top line visibility is what I think investors should focus on, because other things we know, you know, higher funding costs and higher operating costs are already known. Therefore, I think the reasons why I said earlier that, you know, hospitality and retail, if you are a more near-term investor, you know, you have a better visibility from this whole tourism rebound and opening. And then you have the industrial REITs, which are going to really grow, have a, you know, through cycle rent growth. So if you are absolutely right, I think for office sector has a lot more variables to ponder versus, you know, hospitality and retail and industrial sector.
What would be some of the advantages when it comes to foreign acquisitions on this front?
Yeah, I mean, I think Singapore is a small space, right? I think unless there is an act of God and, you know, land comes up, springing up from the ocean. So, and therefore it has to, I mean, REITs have that natural limits of growth, and therefore they have to, you know, go abroad. Risk and return goes hand in hand. So yes, you have opportunities to grow, but then you are also exposed to a foreign terrain, which you do not know the what are the operating variables there. And also it comes along with the currency risk when you are translating your earnings into Singapore dollar. So you I mean, the REITs have been doing this for quite some time, and you have some tools to mitigate the risk. So obviously one is that you can, you know, ride along the path of your sponsor. who probably has seen the market in a longer time horizon, has already planted the flag there. So you can do that. Then I think, Singapore, because of its currency prudence, et cetera, definitely has a better cost of capital advantage. So you do have an advantage there versus your other competitors. And then finally, I think you diversify. So basically you diversify across geography and asset class. So you ride the various property cycles at a different point in time. And I think if you look at, generally the Singapore REITs have kept their overseas exposure to about 20 to 30% of the assets. Only the larger ones have gone closer to that, 40%, but by and large, they have capped their overseas exposure. I won't deny the fact that it comes with its own sets of risks with respect to your, the operational challenges and FX exposure as well.
Let's take a look into the macro outlook. Maybank Investment looks at a mild global recession with global GDP growth projected to slow to 1.7%. For this year, coming down from 2.9% last year. One could argue that inflation is indeed likely. And because of all this, what do you think is going to be expected from the REIT landscape in Singapore, considering that you're making an argument here that MAS is tightening in April 2023? And what is it going to be expected when it comes to SIBOR peaking at around 4.8% right now?
I think so. I think you definitely will get that. And so most important is you need to be nimble and humble. And I think if you do not know the sector well, you are better off by positioning yourself in the large cap liquid names.
Final question, Krishna. IPO for this year when it comes to S-REITs. Any ideas on this?
Favorite question for all across the street. I think a couple of names have already come across in the papers. I think there were some comments about Global Logistics Properties coming up with a logistics REIT. I think there were comments about, I think, ST Telemedia coming up with potential data center REIT. These are the ones that I know. I don't have any, grapevine news, to be honest. In terms of timeline, yeah, I don't have much visibility. So your guess is as good as my guess.
As an investor, should they be more excited about IPOs or more established ones right now in the market?
I think ones with track records, etc., definitely help. But again, it's all about what they offer. I mean, what's the valuation? What's the pipeline assets that they have, and so on. So unless you see the full picture, it is tough to kind of handicap yourself.
Okay. We're looking at the so-called Valentine's Day budget or Valentine's budget that was presented a few weeks ago. Singapore has outlined the idea of cost of living being the key point of budget. In Malaysia also, we're looking at cost of living being the central tenet of our own budget that was presented on February 24th a few weeks ago. Do you feel that cost of living is going to be a key point when it comes to growing their savings and trying to grow their investments? How does that tailor towards the general picture of how Singaporeans need to maximize their dollar?
So I think the government support to defray this inflation in impact will definitely be positive for domestic consumption. And we have REITs, I think Fraser Center Point Trust is the suburban sort of landlord, and they will definitely benefit from this measure from the government. We think Capital and Industrial, Capital Integrated Commercial Trust, which is a bit more diversified, but they also have significant presence in the suburban space. They also will benefit from this. So whatever steps that it takes, be it low unemployment rate, be it higher wages, or be it the government support measures to reduce the impact of inflation, will definitely support domestic consumption and will be beneficial for the suburban landlords.
Okay. Thank you very much, Krishna, for sharing your views with us. If you want to learn more about Singapore REITs, just head on to Maybank Investments reports you can actually easily find it at their website. In the meantime, do stay on with us. There are plenty of resources that can be found there as well. For now, my name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.